Well, good morning, everyone. We're only 2 weeks away from Easter Sunday, and next Sunday we begin Holy Week, leading to Good Friday, the day that we remember our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the day that he was crucified on a cross for us. These next two Sundays are perhaps the two most important Sundays on the church calendar. It is really important for as many people that we can fit in this building to attend church over these next two Sundays. And so to make that possible for everyone to attend church over the next two Sundays, we're going to have a special no-excuse Sunday. Cots will be placed in the lobby for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. There will be a special section with lounge chairs for those who feel that our seats are not comfortable enough. And we'll have an extra fire extinguisher or two available for those who say the church will burn down if they walk in through the doors. Relatives, friends will be sent special invitations for those who say they can't make it because of some family event. And we'll maybe even cook for everyone. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick on Sunday. And the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas decorations and Easter decorations in case there are those who say they can only go to church on Christmas and Easter. Now, Aaron and Kai, and I don't see Jacqueline, but if they were up here, they'd be freaking out right now that I didn't tell them all these plans beforehand. And but of course, I'm joking. We're not going to do all that stuff. But we could do something to get people to attend over these next two important Sundays. First of all, you can all show up. And secondly, you can invite someone and be enthusiastic about it as you do. And it's not about being enthusiastic about having someone come and meet your awesome pastor either. I guess I'm okay. But the real part, awesome part is the good news we all been talking about and going over these past couple months is really going to hit home over these next two Sundays. And people need to hear that good news. Even Christians need to be reminded of this powerful good news as they come here. And the most important thing, and the most important person, I should say, that someone should meet when they walk in these doors, is Jesus Christ. So we are in week 4 of the sermon series called The Final Days of Jesus. Now Jesus and his disciples are about to enter, or already did enter, the city of Jerusalem and are within the city, or on the outskirts throughout this final week. And by now, Jesus has many followers, and he also has many enemies. As we discussed a few weeks ago, the city of Jerusalem is really stirring. The faithful Jews are wondering if this man Jesus is their promised Messiah and their promised king. And by now, the religious authorities are wondering what they are to do with this man called Jesus. For some time now, they have been plotting to even kill him. But the Passover feast is about to begin in 24 hours. The Roman authorities are also starting to pay attention. If anything, Rome did not want any Jew thinking that they had the power to overthrow the Roman authority. Now Passover is about to begin for the Jews, and Jesus and his disciples are preparing for this important Jewish feast day or holiday, as we would call it today. It is a time, Passover is a time of remembrance for the Jews, where they take the time to remember when Moses came to free the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. To free the Israelites, God brought a series of judgments over Pharaoh and Egypt, with the last one being a plague that would kill all of Egypt's firstborn sons. The night that the plague came, Moses told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb and wipe the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, one over the top of the doorpost and over each side of the doorframe. Now, if the Israelites did this, death would pass over or skip over their house. And by the way, an interesting note on all this, if you just look at a door frame over there, when God told the Israelites to wipe the blood of the lamb on the top and on the sides of the door frames, if you really pay attention what that looked like, it was a cross. That was found in the Old Testament. That's pretty cool, in my opinion. Now, it is Thursday in this last week of Jesus, and a lot is going to happen this day. Jesus, again, understood what was about to go down the very next day. His time on earth was coming to an end. His followers at this time didn't really grasp what Jesus came to do. He came to be the most perfect and final sacrificial lamb on Passover. On this final day, as Passover is about to begin, Jesus is going to give his disciples some very important lessons before he is sacrificed. Now, Passover begins at sunset on Thursday evening, and lasting till sunset on Friday evening. It begins by Jesus telling his disciples to go and prepare a place for Passover, for the Passover meal. Now, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 26 today, starting in verse 18. Jesus first says to his disciples on this day, this Thursday, he says, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." Now, we need to stop here just for a moment and think about this. Have you ever been facing a tough situation in life that you know you had no choice but to face head on? Can you remember the anxiety or the stress within you? Some people try to cower in these situations, or not try, they just do. Cower in these situations, or they try to avoid the uncomfortable situation altogether. Now, in this moment, Jesus had every opportunity to walk away. He could have turned around and just disappeared back into the countryside. But instead, he told his disciples, "My time is at hand." There are going to be moments in life where we have to face tough situations. All kinds of thoughts in these moments can go through our heads, causing even more anxiety within us. You see, we have to understand that Jesus understood what was before him. But instead of running away from it, he knew that his Father was with him. He knew his time had come. When you trust in God during these tough times and are faithful to him, God is going to bring you through it. You can step forward in faith no matter what is before you, even if you realize you can't do it on your own. But when you trust in God, God can do it for you and through you. You may not know in that moment how you're going to get through it either. But Jesus gave us an example here. He knew his time had come, and he knew his Father would help him get through it. So trust in God during these times of anxiety. When the pressure seems too much to handle, know that God is with you. He can handle it, even if you don't think you can. Now, moving on this Thursday evening, Jesus sends his disciples to prepare an upper room for a Passover meal. This will be the last meal Jesus ever shared with his disciples before being crucified and killed on a cross. Now, to this day, the church still remembers this meal in that upper room. Every time we take part in communion together as a church. That night, Jesus and his disciples enter this upper room, and it says in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 39, It says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he gave thanks, and he had given thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Now, when we take part in communion at church, we need to remember this night that Jesus ate this Passover meal with his disciples. Because Jesus is still inviting all of us to share in this meal with him, in remembrance of him. Taking part in communion should move a believer's heart and spirit into repentance, worship, and thanksgiving to our Lord. Because let us remember that this night that they took communion, it was about what Jesus was about to do. Jesus was about to give up his body and shed his blood for all of us, so we can finally be forgiven once and for all, for all of our sins. Jesus would be the Passover lamb. And through it, he would bring us everlasting life. But I also think we need to reflect on what could have been going through the mind of Jesus that night as he shared this Passover meal with his disciples. I like to do that when I'm reading the scriptures, trying to just think, what is Jesus? I mean, a lot of times the scriptures will say what he's thinking, but sometimes it doesn't. So I just try to, what's going through his mind here? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what Jesus was thinking? Now, Jesus was aware of the pain and the suffering that he was about to endure. But he was also aware that many of his own disciples, friends, would abandon him. And even one would betray him. Jesus even predicted that night that Peter, the rock, would deny him 3 times. Among many other things, this must have weighed heavily on Jesus that night of the Passover meal. So when Jesus said, while he was holding up the bread and the wine, "This is my body, and this is my blood. Eat and drink it in remembrance of me." Today, we should all be reflecting on this. And thank Jesus for what he has done for each of us. Every time we take communion here at church, it is a special time of remembrance of Jesus. It is a special time also for believers because Jesus gave up his body and his blood for us, so we can live in his righteousness alone. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus did. It was a covenant that Jesus made with his disciples, and it was symbolized by the breaking of bread and drinking of wine or juice. Jesus was telling everyone that night at that Passover meal and all who believe in him that we can now be in complete communion or relationship with God because of what he was about to go do. This should cause every person to rejoice and be thankful for what Jesus did. Humanity was once completely separated from God. The law and the sacrificing of animals from the Old Testament could only cover our sins a year at a time. But the law can never take away our sin. The law can never bring us back into complete communion with God. Only the high priest could commune with God in the Holy of Holies in the temple once a year on the Day of Atonement. But now Jesus is here in that upper room, before even he walked into that upper room, he said, "My time has come." Because Jesus is now our high priest for all eternity. Jesus doesn't just cover our sins on a special day once a year. He takes away our sins forever. Now, after dinner that night, it says in Matthew 26:30 that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn together. And then they left to go to the Mount of Olives. After they arrived at the Mount of Olives, Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew 26:31-32. He says this, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the shepherd of the flock will be, or the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Now trouble was heading towards Jesus and the apostles this night. Judas, one of the apostles, was returning with guards to arrest Jesus. The other apostles and disciples didn't realize this yet. Even Peter said, "Jesus, I would never betray you." And that's when Jesus told Peter, "I tell you the truth, you will betray me three times." Now, while I was studying the scriptures of this account, I had to admit to myself and God that there have been times where I have told Jesus that I would never abandon you, Jesus. But as I got honest with myself, I realized there have been times where I have done just that. You see, it is easy to follow Jesus when everything is going great in our lives. When we see Jesus performing miracles, when we are comforted by him, when we are blessed by him. But the truth is, we never experience Jesus in his full glory until we walk beside him through suffering. When everything is going well, we are in even more danger from the enemy and falling away from Jesus than when things don't seem to be going as planned. As I talked about last week, apathy or laziness can set in on us when everything seems to be going well. But it will only be a matter of time before the enemy comes knocking. And we need to ask ourselves, are we going to be asleep, or are we going to be standing and walking side by side with the King of the universe, who can defeat the enemy just with the sound of his voice? It doesn't matter how you're feeling at the time either. Even if you're filled with anxiety or stress, lay it all down before Jesus, who is standing before you, and move forward with him. He will bring you through it. And he will remind the enemy of your soul, that his time had come. Jesus' time had come. And so here is Jesus now standing in the garden near the Mount of Olives. This garden is called the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm going to read to you all of what happens next because I think it is important that we don't miss any detail here. If we can grab hold in faith of what Jesus did that night, nothing in this world will ever, ever overcome you. All your stress, all your anxiety will be placed on the shoulders of Jesus instead. But pay attention. Don't do what the apostles did that night. Let's read starting in Matthew 26:36-46. It says, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, So, you could not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed. And he said, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now in this account, we first need to pay attention to the command that Jesus gave to his disciples that night in that garden. He simply told them to watch. Do what he does while he went away to go pray to his Father. But what do the disciples do instead? They fall asleep. Now we realize it was late at night and the disciples were probably just simply tired for the hour that they were in. However, I think there is a deeper lesson here that God is trying to show us today. Jesus already warned the disciples that trouble was heading their way. Jesus wasn't telling the disciples to watch so they could protect Jesus from his enemies. No. Jesus was telling the disciples to watch him. To watch what he did. How Jesus would respond to this pressure, this stress, this anxiety that was before him. We need to remember that although Jesus was God in the flesh, he was still a man who experienced all the same kind of emotions and even temptations that we all experience. And under all this pressure, the first thing Jesus does is fall on his face before his Father. And he prays. And the object of Jesus' prayer is his Father. Jesus wants to spend that time alone with his Father, which he did often, by the way. Before he ever goes through what he has to go through, he is with his Father. In this time of prayer, Jesus pours out his heart to his Father in that garden that night. He falls to the ground and calls out, Abba. Now, Abba is the Aramaic word used in these verses for Father. Abba is actually properly translated to Daddy. When my kids were little, my heart would melt whenever they were scared or afraid, and they would run up into my arms and cry out, Daddy. And I know if any of you have kids, I'm sure your heart does that as well when they cry out, Mommy, Daddy. That's what Jesus was doing that night. Jesus is doing the same thing here with his Daddy. The scriptures say that Jesus was troubled and sorrowful. But don't think for a moment that Jesus was trying to get out of going through what he was supposed to go through at the cross that night that he cried out to his Father, his Daddy. Jesus' whole purpose of coming into this world was to take away all of our sins. The sins of all humanity and taking them on upon himself. And then die for us. All that Jesus was doing here in that garden that night was acknowledging the feelings of fear within him to his Father. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think Jesus was really so much fearful of dying, or even so much of fear of the pain and the suffering he was about to endure on the cross. Now, sure, I'm sure the feelings of fear were there in Jesus a little bit about that. But I think the biggest thing that Jesus feared that night was him losing contact with his daddy. When Jesus cried out, "Abba, let this cup pass from my hand," he was just simply asking his daddy not to turn his back on him when that sin came upon him. Jesus was asking his Father, "If there's another way, Father, for me to take away the sins and for the forgiveness of sins of all humanity, then let it be done. But if not, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus' will was to be in communication, to be in that relationship. That was his will. I want to be in relationship with my Father. But in that moment, there was no other way. So he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." I think that is so important for us to understand when we really look at what Jesus did and the intimate relationship he had with his Father, what he had to go through for us. The Apostle Paul later tells us in the book of Romans to follow this example of Jesus in times when we are under pressure or in fear. In Romans chapter 8, verses 15, Paul says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons of God, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." By Jesus taking our sin upon himself, and even having his own Father turn his back on his Son because of it, this act that Jesus was about to do would allow anyone who believes in him to now be adopted by God the Father as sons and daughters. If you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive you of your sins through Jesus, you can now cry out as Jesus did in that garden, "Abba, Father, Daddy." And here's the cool thing. The Father will never turn his back on you because of what Jesus did. Do you really understand the significance of all that? It is really cool. I like to use the word cool because I think it is cool. For those who now have Christ within them through faith, there is nothing to be fearful about anymore. There is nothing to be stressed about. Now, I'm not saying that those feelings aren't real within us. Even Jesus experienced those feelings. I'm just saying that if you are in Christ, you now have the God of the universe, your Father, who has your back. This is what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples. This is why he was trying to tell the disciples, "Watch. Watch me." Jesus didn't let the fear, the stress, or the anxiety overcome him. Instead, he fell on his knees before his Father, knowing that his daddy would do something to bring him through it. You can now be that child who runs in the arms of your daddy, and he will carry you through. Now, one other point about Jesus praying to his Father that night in the garden. I think that Jesus was under temptation by Satan to find this other way to take away our sins. The text suggests that Jesus prayed three separate times. Jesus asked his Father to take this cup from his hand so he wouldn't be separated from his Father. And after each time praying, Jesus went to go back and check on his disciples who were now sleeping. After the first time Jesus prayed, he told the disciples to wake up and watch so they wouldn't fall into temptation. But disciples, of course, fell asleep again after Jesus then went back and prayed. And after the second time of praying, Jesus asked his Father again to take away this cup. Then he got up and checked on his disciples, and yeah, they were sleeping again. And finally, the third time, Jesus finished his prayer to his Father. Knowing what had to be done, he got up and said to his disciples, "The hour is at hand." And Judas had arrived in the garden with the authorities to arrest Jesus. Now look here at what the disciples' response, what their responses were as the authorities arrived. It is found in Matthew 26, verse 56. Now I'm not going to share all the details. There's a lot of details in these verses, but I'm just going to share that one verse because this is really the most important one. Then all the disciples left him and fled. The disciples were not prepared. When the enemy came calling, they were not prepared for the stress, the anxiety that was to come upon them. So they ran away. Praying to the Father brings about obedience. It makes us bold. It helps us get through whatever is supposed to be before us. In praying, it is saying to the Father, "Not my will, but your will be done." The disciples were not watching Jesus as he prayed to his Father that night. They weren't doing what Jesus was doing. Instead, they grew tired. We can even say apathetic, lazy. So when the time of great distress came upon them, they cowered in their fear and they ran away from the one they said they loved, who they would never abandon, their own Messiah. And now Jesus was put in chains and led away to the authorities alone. I don't know all your stresses and all your anxieties in life. What I do know is that life has a way to bring about stress and anxiety in this world. We can't avoid it. And even if we try, it will find a way to catch up to you. Like the authorities who came upon Jesus and the disciples that night. But as we are going to discover next week, Jesus now gave us that kind of access and that relationship that he had to his Father, he has with his Father in heaven. For those who are in Christ, you now too can stand firm and even move forward without running away in fear. But you have to pray. You have to have that relationship with your Father through Jesus Christ. If you're feeling tired and weary, don't do what the disciples did. Wake up and pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. Pray for strength to endure what is to come. And it is okay to ask the Father to take this cup from your hand. It's okay. Whatever that cup may be. But we need to be prepared to tell the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." If the Father says no, you need to be prepared to go through it. Because something amazing is going to come out of it on the other end when you trust in the Father. Because God is with you. That night, Jesus understood that even through the pain, the suffering, and ultimately the loss of communion with his Father that was to come, we say it often here in church, Sunday was coming. That's just giving you a little preview over the next two Sundays. Jesus took the cup given to him and he walked forward into the arms of those who were there to arrest him that night. And he knew, Jesus knew that he would overcome the world. And so can all who keep watching and praying in his name. So let us pray. Father, thank you. Jesus, I want to thank you to give us that you have given us access to your Father through you. because of your obedience to your Father. Jesus, I know that that was the one thing that you feared the most, was not being in communion with your Father as you took my sin and everyone's sin on you as you hung on that cross. And I know next week we're going to go over those accounts. And Lord, all I can do is praise you for what you did for me and for everyone here. And I pray as we go about the rest of our week leading up to next week, Lord, that you will help us remember your sacrifice, that you gave up your body, you shed your blood for us. You took our sin upon yourself. It's amazing. Your grace is amazing. Your love for us is amazing. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.